is that by learning, I will be able to share more with others. And grace. God gives nobody sanctity for themselves. No. No. And in fact, if God has given you graces, which you may think in your less humble moments make you holy, either you share those graces or you will lose them. Grace not shared is grace lost. Do you hear me? Still the proposed means for solution. Next page. Those who are weaker must cultivate the same sense of solidarity. They are not to be merely passive. They are to claim their legitimate rights. They should contribute what they can to the good of all. May not be much, but give what they can. They should not be destructive of society, which is part of the philosophy of communism. And believe me, Chinese communism, with over 1 billion people, is worse than Russian communism ever was. And the Western countries say boo, nothing, if you want the money from those criminals, on an average, murder 50 million unborn children in China every year. Now some practical implications. Regarding the desire for money and pleasure, we must seriously re-examine Christ's teaching and the practice of poverty. We must re-examine our failures in poverty as individual persons in our daily lives. Do I waste? You have so many people that lack. What we've got so much of as societies. Civil societies as families, cities and local communities, and the society, as you know, is only as strong as the family. And, as you know, we are a welfare country. Millions are living on welfare. The lowest figure I've heard in New York City is 2 million people, 2 million, not earning $1, living exclusively on welfare. Which is disastrous to human dignity. Our social structure is so dominated by the economy, by money, possessions, modern conveniences, and sources of worldly pleasure, we must stand in judgment on how far we allowed ourselves to become part of this worldliness. I have counseled too many consciences. I've given too many retreats, including those who have millions. I still remember a retreat to a group of millionaires in Milwaukee. One point I was telling them, now look, you fellas, either you use your money that you've got by the practice of charity, or you're going to go to hell. to the man who organized the retreat. He had a recorder. So he pushed it closer to where I was sitting so he wouldn't miss a word. The more you've got, the more you owe the world. It does not belong to you. Regarding the thirst for power, by imposing one's will on others, we must cultivate the practice of Christ-like humility. And with this, we will close. We must humbly look into our own hearts to find out how we manifest our pride, and it's especially in our words, in speech. Reread the third chapter of St. James' letter. Read it and weep. You can tame any wild animal, but the human tongue no one has tamed. We should humbly look into our own hearts to take positive action on the practice of humility by developing our interior humility. It's over 30 years since I read this in St. Vincent Ferrer, the Dominican saint, who said, if you want to go on humility, watch your thoughts. Do not allow any self-complacent, self-satisfying, self-admiring thought to remain on your mind for a moment. The moment you find yourself admiring yourself inside, stop it. The missionaries of charity, as some of you may know, have no mirrors in their convents. I tell them, sisters, you don't need those mirrors. Your most dangerous mirror is your mind. We are constantly tempted to look into the mirror of our own minds. Oh, what a beautiful sight. And the most beautiful thing that we admire in ourselves is not our physical looks. In fact, do you know what? Even the sin of pride, you don't waste it. To speak of a person being proud of their physical appearance, that's called vanity. Do you hear me? That's cheap dime store pride. Oh, but intellect. That's something different. Oh, strength of will. Or qualities of leadership. Oh, well, spiritual growth. Or enduring, because I have to deal with, well, people who think they are mystics. And in so many words, they ask you, are you questioning that God is speaking to me? Yes. How dare you? I don't question God's goodness. I'm questioning, well, your holiness. And while people think they're holy, and they're not, watch out. Run for cover. I'm not exaggerating. You must admit our failures in humility by trying to impose our will on others. We must meditate on the practice of humility of Jesus and Mary. We pray constantly to protect us from pride. We must practice, as never before, the virtue of charity. We must attend Mass and receive the sacraments. All of this, the Pope is telling us, and the rest you can read for yourselves. I think we should pick up some of your questions. Do we have any? I can't quite make out. Is there salvation for souls first outside the Catholic Church? Yes. Outside the Christian Church? Yes. For Orthodox Jewish brethren or sisters? Yes. The absolute minimum the Church teaches for salvation in terms of faith is believing in God and believing that He rewards those who serve Him. That is the absolute minimum of faith. Of course, on the side of conduct, I must also, to be saved, live up to what my conscience tells me is God's will. Should the Pope and Vatican live with such expensive lifestyles, for example, a $450,000 rectory, excessiveness, materialism, worldliness, practical implication for Catholics? Well, obviously, there are so many problems like the one which this identifies that are raised to the service. That, as far as the Pope is concerned, suppose the Pope try to check on the cost of all the rectories in the Catholic Church. He'd never get anywhere. In other words, there are certain things that are left to the discretion, not just of the Pope, but of the bishops and the local pastor. Nevertheless, I dare say that a case like this can well be. Holy Father did hear about this. Please read the announcement with the directions to abortion clinic on the podium. Oh, I see. Woman Care in Livonia on 5 Mile, 2 blocks east of Inkster on north side of the road. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to noon. Bring rosary and dress warmly across from a car wash. Parking on the street next to the abortion clinic, we need you. In other words, I I recommended that I be given this kind of assignment. So, this is on Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon, be a rosary and dress warmly. Woman care, Livonia, 5 mile, 2 blocks east of Inkster, on north side of the road.
West of Inkster, I wrote it wrong.
So, is it east of Inkster?
West.
Okay. So, change it. 5 miles, 2 blocks west of Inkster, on the north side of the road. Are we there now? Okay. Do you conduct communal penance services? No, I don't. Now, there are two kinds of communal penance services. There are penance services, so-called, in which the people assemble, and there is, well, reading from Scripture, a kind of Bible session, a homily, and a chance to examine one's conscience, but then followed by private confessions to enough priests to take care even of a church full of people. Now that kind of a communal penance, of course, is legitimate and in some cases even be highly recommended. There is, however, also, as you know, a communal penance in which there is a general absolution. And the present Pope couldn't be stronger in insisting only in most extraordinary emergency situations. Not merely may, but can general absolution be validly given. The one condition that I keep pointing out, both in speaking and in writing, is that the people must be told, they must be told, if it is indeed a valid occasion, an emergency, for giving general absolution. They must, to get absolved, then they must intend soon. The Latin word is mox, soon. Make a private confession and confess whatever mortal sins they would have confessed had they gone to a private confession instead of the general confession. Unless they intend to do that, to confess their mortal sins at their next early private confession, the general absolution is utterly and totally invalid. And I'm afraid many, if not most of the general absolutions are not valid. Does an invalidly baptized Protestant have baptism of desire? Well, he could have, but just thinking that he was baptized validly does not, of course, qualify him for a baptism of desire. Whatever else baptism of desire means, it does mean such love of God that my sorrow for sin is based on my love of the God whom I offended and not merely the fear of his punishments. And as I've said more than once, having over the years been so involved with teaching Protestants in their seminaries, three books that I've written on Protestantism. I can tell you that many, many Protestant baptisms are not valid. And that for two reasons. One, because some that I know from the very bishops or those who are in charge of the denomination, they tell me they do not use the formula, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in other cases, even though they may use those words, they will either not pour water, like my Methodist bishop, I think I told you, didn't I? Where so many of his ministers, he was just so thrilled to describe. Still remember, at table, he was angry. And those rose petals, they just fall on the baby's head as he shook his head. So I asked him, Bishop, are those rose petals wet? He didn't know what I was talking about. How do we decide the amount of time to spend in prayer each day? Well, first of all, decide to spend some time deciding how much time you're going to spend. Make an examination of conscience. And I want to tell you, I'm being very honest here, there's nothing I can tell you. I can share books of knowledge with you. That's more important than my urging you and hoping that with God's grace you will pray more than you are doing now. First of all, how much time during the day do I have available? I think I told you about the people in India. And these, what we call the pagans, the absolute minimum, I'm told, is an hour and a half a day. These are pagans. They have shrines. They have various practices. And so I really believe, I believe myself. Now this can be accumulative, but from the morning through the day, accumulatively, and I ask you, the Lord, to enlighten me. I don't believe that 1 hour a day in prayer is too much. I think the amount of time we spend in conversation, see, with other human beings. So I would say, how do we decide? First, decide that you can make a decision. Then have definite things that you're going to talk over with our Lord in meditation. Why would Cardinal Maida allow an architectural firm off the diocese place the tabernacle about 100 feet from the altar in a separate room which the Pope has stated is liturgically incorrect? Well, it is not my business to pass judgment on what, in this case, was done, if it was indeed done by the decision of the cardinal. All I can tell you is that there has been for some years now almost a pattern. I was called twice to Rome in 86 and again in 87 by the Holy Father's secretary. Took them back to the States and urged Americans, urged with them, plead with them to spend more time with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Now it may be, I'm not necessarily defending a practice, I'm just trying to explain why certain people do things. It may be that being before the Blessed Sacrament, before the tabernacle, without necessarily having the Blessed Sacrament exposed, would be more agreeable, at least in some parishes or dioceses. But I can also tell you, there were tabernacles are removed from churches, as they often are. They're following. By the way, would we have the sacramentary that we used at Mass on the premises here, or is that book gone? Could you find the sacramentary? Thank you. Before the liturgical parts begin, there is in the sacramentary a large section called General Instructions of the Roman Missal. And this is Roman Missal, General Instructions, number 276. It is highly recommended that the Holy Eucharist may be served in a chapel suitable for private adoration and prayer. If this is impossible because of the structure of the church or local custom, it should be kept on an altar or other place in the church that is prominent and properly decorated. We read it once again. It is highly recommended that the Holy Eucharist be reserved in a chapel suitable for private adoration and prayer. If this is impossible because of the structure of the church or local custom, it should be kept on an altar or other place in the church that is prominent and properly decorated. Number 276 has been superseded, has been replaced by the Code of Canon Law. But as long as it is still here, the interpretation that some are giving this 276 is what the question that I read just before comes to the surface, and it becomes a scandal in many parts, especially of our country. I assure you, Holy Father knows about this, and prayer. when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, was baptizing used in the sense of cleansing as Jesus was and is divine? No. In other words, our Lord was not himself cleansed from sin. And thanks for reminding me, it is on my clock 4:06. We only go till 4:15, right? And beyond that, if we have to. So the answer is no. John's baptism was not the sacrament. No sins removed. But Christ allowed himself to be considered a sinner, to be humiliated in order to thus redeem a sinful world. One of the church's teaching on giving the sacrament of anointing. Many parishes have hearing masses after the sacrament of anointing is given to anyone who wants it. Regardless of any proximate danger of death. Serious illness or old age. The practice is wrong. That's spelled W-R-O-N-G. Pious, but wrong. Please summarize the point you made about something leading to a new great outpouring of graces. Did you say God allows the present evil of abortion because out of it you'll bring much good? Yes. Not just much good, but much more good than in his ordinary providence would have been made available except for the massive evil. Regarding the law of entropy, the universe tends towards chaos. Can it be refuted by saying the universe changes by good which dissipates itself and evil which feeds by destruction? Yes. In other words, having in my doctoral studies in science, I know a good deal about entropy, but as believers, we know there's a God running the universe. Entropy or no entropy, God is in charge. So, yes. In other words, even as things are running out, other things under divine guidance are making up. Could Father Rabeau conduct 30-day retreats for those who are interested? I can ask him, Father Rabeau. We're good friends. I'll ask him. What should our reaction be to Paul Hill, the man who killed an abortionist in Florida? Did I explain this once? In other words, it is legitimate to use force to save a human life, whether one's own or somebody else. May therefore we use force, to prevent an abortion. Yes. If in the process of using the force, my intention is not to kill the abortionist, my intention is to save the unborn child's life. If, contrary to my intentions, the abortionist dies or is killed by my using force, I am not guilty of murder. In other words, the intention must be to preserve human life, but it cannot be to kill the one who is guilty of the attempted murder. And it seems that those who support or are indifferent to abortion refuse to accept the fact that human life begins at conception. One of the key arguments to use to convince these people that human life begins at conception. First of all, and I think I have to say this, though I know I am being taped, I don't believe abortion would ever have been legalized in the United States except with a strong Jewish element in New York State, which appealed to the Talmud, which way back over 1,000 years ago, the Jewish interpretation of the law not only allows abortion, but describes how it should be done on the grounds that an unborn child is not yet a human being. Consequently, all the grounds of reason are in favor of considering that unborn child a human person. But some people's faith can be, as surely in this case, tragically mistaken. In other words, from the moment of conception, the fertilized ovum, believing as we do, is animated by the spirit, human spirit, and has the qualities of a human being, which increase in specificity, in detail, in variety with time. But what had not been a human being would not become a human being. Either was a human being when conceived or would never become a human being. And we know now that fertilized ovum, as they're calling it, or embryo, can be transferred, say, to another woman's womb, and can even be nurtured and become a human being. In other words, there is nothing done objectively to make that fertilized ovum a human being. It is a human being from the beginning. Otherwise, you wouldn't become a human being. When praying, is it important to keep one particular prayer position of attention? And where does needing for prayer come from? Well, St. John of the Cross was surely no lounger at prayer. He says, take that posture in prayer which best helps you to pray. Kneeling, standing, sitting. Now, lying down may help some people to pray, but most people, you know what happens to them when they lie down. So, now the kneeling part, from the dawn of human history, kneeling has been a posture of bending the will, symbolized by the knees, before the God whom I believe in. Shall I finish these? I have heard of the 3 days of darkness. Is this believable? If so, why? Oh, my friends, there is nothing so weird that is not believable. Some of the more strange, the more believable it is. The question is not, is it believable? Is it credible? The answer is no. Now, 3 days of darkness, no doubt there will be before the end of the world. But I assure you, the end of the world is not coming soon. I would say at least at least another 1,000 years. At least. You've got the whole Oriental world to proclaim Christ to. Please comment on the church's teaching on the death penalty. The death penalty, capital punishment, for the state, say to take a human life, is that legitimate? Yes. Under these conditions, that a person has been condemned for a grave crime by legitimate authority. So grave crime, justly condemned by legitimate authority. What are the grounds? Two main grounds. One, and the first, is because crime should, well, be penalized. If someone's done something wrong, the state has a right to punish. Just because something has been done which is wrong should be punished. And secondly, as a deterrent. Now, just the other day I read, those people who think that capital punishment is not a deterrent from crime could learn a few things from the mafia. Let me tell you about our Jesuit priest who was a chaplain to the mafia in Chicago. I was doing some work with the provincial, came across a letter which this priest, who had died in the previous year, had received from the Holy Father, Pius XI. And the Pope thanked him for all the wonderful work you've been doing for our dear Italian people. So I made inquiries. What are the wonderful things he was doing for the Italian people? Well, he was chaplain for years for the mafia. And when somebody was to be executed, the priest would be called up. And then he'd get in the car with the executioners. Now, look, I'm not defending what he did. I'm just telling you. He gave a long black limousine, and then they park the car near the place where the executions take place, and the priest alone would get out of the car and have, well, I'd even bring Holy Communion with him. And tell the person, now, I guess you know why I'm here. You're to be executed tonight. It's not my choice, I want to save your soul. How about it? I'm told that the people made their peace with God. Isn't that neat? At any rate, capital punishment is a deterrent. What is your opinion of the Capuchin Retreat House in Washington, Michigan? If not there, where is there a good retreat house? Well, I would have to be a Jesuit to make sure that I give wise answers to questions like this. As far as retreat houses go, in other words, I cannot pass judgment on any retreat house and say that's not a good retreat house. It all depends, and I know what I'm saying. It depends on who is giving the retreat. And, well, and who the questioner is, but especially who is giving the retreat. If you want some recommendations, I might be able to give some The one who asked the question, see me privately. China now plans to have genetic tests for two people can marry. There's an article in the most recent Catholic New and World Report. Forced sterilization has recently been upheld in our courts. This for the mentally retarded. I think I mentioned that ours is a totalitarian country. And believe me, Stalin could have learned a great deal from the United States in 1992. But the important thing for us, we have the faith, is not ready to survive or go into protective custody, but realizing we are living in a pagan society. Realizing we're living in a pagan society to both protect our